Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Derek Stanton Jones, Sr., and I will be your host for tonight's episode. We serve an awesome God, and he's worthy to be praised. Tonight, I just want to shift off the focus for a minute and talk about make a joyful noise. On tonight, I want to talk about make a joyful noise. And I want to look at Psalm 100. God has just placed it on my heart tonight to just give somewhat of an inspirational message because of all that is going on around us, in us, and going on just everywhere in the world. It just seems like every time I turn around, somebody's life has been taken by somebody else. It's just Seems like we're living in a world full of chaos and confusion right now, even in our private lives, that we are facing troubles with our kids, troubles with our spouses, troubles with our job. And so God just placed it on my heart to just give somewhat of an inspirational message on tonight. So if you would bow your heads with me and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray that this word will go forth in a mighty way. We pray, dear Lord, Father God, that your people will be blessed and that your name will be glorified. We pray, dear Lord, Father God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. So I want to talk about make a joyful noise. Kids are amazing, amen, especially when they are young and innocent. It's only when they get older that they make it hard for us to love them. Nowadays, when a child gets past or to the age of four or older, it becomes a challenge to like and deal with them. Amen? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Don't get me wrong. We always love our children. It just becomes more difficult or more of a challenge to like them, especially when they learn to talk good. Because when they learn to talk well, watch this, they tend to talk back. Do I have a witness here tonight that you know about children, that when they reach a certain age, that when they learn how to talk and they pick up the English language well or whatever their native language may be, they oftentimes nowadays they talk back. Kids are different nowadays. They tend to talk back at an earlier age, and they tend to want to tell us what they want instead of us telling them what we want. Amen. I have a 4-year-old granddaughter, but only one of them. I have four granddaughters, I should say, but only one of them live here in Georgia, which happened to be my youngest granddaughter, and she lives here in Georgia. Matter of fact, she now lives here with us, but she doesn't talk totally good yet. I mean, she knows a lot of words, and she picked up a lot of the English language, but not like a grown adult, amen, not like some of these kids nowadays at her same age. And she is as sweet as she want to be. She's as sweet as they come. When she comes to the house, when she used to come to the house, because she lives here now, but when she used to come to the house, she would get so excited. She can't talk good yet, but when she comes in the house, she was always making some noise. Even now, when she goes to school or preschool or daycare, when she comes back hanging out with her mom, when she comes in the house, she makes some noise. She's not at an age where she can really talk all that good, but she knows how to make some noise. Somebody, you're going to get this in a minute. When my granddaughter, when she comes back in the house from being out, she comes in and she busts through the door and she hollers, "Pawpaw." Sometimes it's somebody is still not getting this. When my daughter comes in her father's house, because I'm a grandfather, when my granddaughter comes in her father's house, when she's in the presence of her father, she makes noise. And even though she can't speak all that well, it's always a joyful noise to hear her call out, "Pawpaw, Pawpaw." I wish I had somebody here that's understanding what I'm talking about. I'm talking about make a joyful noise. Amen. And so as we make our way to our text, this is what the writer of Psalm 100 is commanding. Watch this, the creation of God to do. David, King David, that is commanding the creation of God to give Jehovah praise. How fitting is it for the creation of God to give God praise? And what better person to command praise on God's behalf than that of King David? Amen. David was a man that loved. He was a man after God's own heart. And this is the same David that penned down, watch this, Psalm 23, which personifies his relationship with God. David understood what what it meant to be a shepherd as he was a shepherd boy himself. It was on the back hills of Bethlehem where David, now King David, had learned to depend on God and become a protector of sheep. Yes, David was a protector of sheep long before he became the king of Israel. When he was on the back hill tending his father's sheep, God was preparing him to be the king of Israel, to be the protector of his sheep. Somebody needs to understand everything that we go through and everything that happens around us, it may not be just Satan trying to cause havoc in your life, but it just may be God trying to prepare you to take you to another position, to take you higher in God, to take you higher in Christ, to take you to a higher level in doing something in the kingdom of God. Can I get a witness here? And I can imagine it was on this Bethlehem Hill as David pondered in amazement as he watched the beauty of the sun set and rise. And am I talking to anybody that ever watched the sun set and rise? Have you ever seen that before? He prayed and penned sweet tunes and lyrics unto God, even as he was watching. For King David was a musician. Yes, King David understood lyrics. He understood music. So David understood the power of music and song. And because of his understanding of music and his strong relationship with God, watch this, David prayed. If anybody understood praise, it was King David. The Bible tells us that David's praise was so great. It was so powerful. It was so intense that he praised God until his clothes came off. Did anybody want to praise God until their clothes come off? Is there anybody out there that's willing to praise God to dance out of their clothes? This is how intense David's praise was. Watch this, because I know that the songwriter says, I'm going to worship until I pass out. David says, I'm going to worship until my clothes come off. I wish I had a witness out there somewhere. And the Bible tells us that God inhabits our praise. He dwells in, he lives in our praise. That ought to be a praise break for somebody right now, that God lives in your praise. Somebody said when the praises go up, the blessings come down. That's because God wants to hear from us. God wants to feel our love. God loves our praise, and that's where he lives. You want to know where God lives at? In heaven, he dwells in our praise. I wish I had a witness in there somewhere. So the first thing I want us to see out of this psalm of David, because David was a true worshiper, is the commandment to praise. Turn to your neighbor or turn to somebody in the house and say, it's not an option. When it comes to praising God, when it comes to worshiping God, it's not an option. I'm in verse number one. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, per my pastor's advice, Pastor Bowens told me if I wanted to be effective, if I want to be a powerful preacher, I got to do word study. So I did a word study on the word noise. And I found out that in the Hebrew, the word noise means sound. It means voice, especially that of a human. In other words, King David is giving a commandment for us to, watch this, open our mouths. And I understand that man can give God praise without opening our mouths. We can praise God without saying a word. But in this text, in the context of what David is writing this psalm, we are commanded to open our mouths. And rightly so. After all, it was God that gave us the voice in the first place. And we should want to open our mouth for God. Is there anybody in here that wants to, listening tonight, that want to open our mouth for God? I mean, we open our mouth for everything else. We go to football games and we're opening our mouth. We go to basketball games and we're screaming to the top of our lungs. We go to family barbecues and we are the loudest person at the barbecue. When we are in the clubs, we're getting our swerve on. We open our mouths and if we can do it in the clubs, why can't we do it in the church? I wish somebody was getting this tonight. We got to open our mouth. It says noise out of the Hebrew. It means voice or sound, especially of a human. But watch this. Because that's not the strong point of the emphasis that David is making. Can I have a teaching moment here for a minute? The emphasis is not on the word noise, but the emphasis is on the phrase. Watch this. Make a joyful noise. Don't miss this. Make a joyful noise out of the Hebrew means to split. It means to break. That King David is not only commanding us to open our mouth and make a sound with our voice, but when we open our mouth to make noise, the king says, King David says, make a sound that is so loud that it splits, that it breaks and breaks the ear. Watch this. Here it is. Make a joyful noise means to shout. In this text, it means to shout with joy. Amen? Make a joyful noise means to shout. And in this text, it means to shout with joy. That when David says make a joyful noise, he's talking about splitting. He's talking about breaking. It's a noise so loud that it hurts the ear. It splits. It breaks the ear. Pastor Bowen, I know not. This doesn't happen at many churches. My pastor was telling me about this. This hasn't happened in many churches, but in some churches, where I have discovered saints are shouting. When they're shouting, they are breaking ears. But it's not with the joy. Not with joy. It's with jealousy. See, because we like to make some noise. Amen. We always want to make some noise, but oftentimes it's not a joyful noise, especially in the church. Not at the church that you go to, not at the church that I go to, but other churches, amen, they're breaking their ears with bickering and backbiting, with backstabbing. They are opening their mouths not to glorify God, but to gossip in God's house, to complain in God's house. And the thing about it is, when you have somebody that is not making a joyful noise, it doesn't matter who they complain to, because they complain to the choir, they complain to the clergy, they complain to the congregation, they complain to anybody that will listen. They would even complain to the custodian. In worst case scenario, they complain to the janitor. We even complain to Christ. Have you ever met somebody that's all they do is not make a joyful noise but complain? Even to God, always complaining. Why is it me? Why come I can't get blessed with the $100,000 car? Why, Lord, when am I going to get blessed with the $500,000 home? Why, Lord, when my man, when my woman going to always complain? Have you ever seen some folks that always open their mouth and it's a complaint? King David says make a joyful noise. When you're talking to the Lord, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The very fact that the songwriter says make is a strong, watch this, indication that it has nothing to do with our feeling. See, because most of the time we're making noise based on feeling, that when I feel good, that I give God praise, that when God bless me, I give God praise. But when we're going through a storm, when it don't feel so good, we don't want to open our mouth. Is that making any sense? See, there's too many of God's people that think praise is predicated, watch this, on how we feel. So based on how we feel is how God gets what is due him. Because you know God is due praise. Is that making any sense? So if the choir is singing me happy, or if the preacher is preaching me glad, or if things are happening around me that are favorable, then I give God praise. But I stopped by tonight to put somebody on notice and make it clear, praise is not predicated on how we feel, but praise hangs on the hinges of our will and the relationship, watch this, we have with our Father. Make a joyful noise. It has nothing to do with how we feel, but everything to do with our relationship with God. Watch this, because I have four biological sons. I have five sons altogether, but four biological sons. And when they were young, when my four biological sons were young, they never felt like cleaning their room. None of them. Out of all four of them, they never felt like cleaning their room. But they always did it. They never felt like doing it. They knew their father, they cleaned their room. My sons cleaned their room even when their mother told them to, clean their room even when their mother told them to do it. Not because they felt like doing it, and certainly not because their mother told them to do it, but because of the relationship they had with their father. Somebody, I'll catch that in a minute. But make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Unto the Lord is it is not based on our feelings, but it's based on our relationship. The reason why my sons cleaned the room, even when their mother told them to, it was because it was based on the relationship that they had with the father, with their father. Is that making any sense? Amen. The reason why we don't see parishioners praising is because they don't know the Lord. See, when we see folks that are coming to church or even going about their daily lives and they don't give God praise, it's really because they just don't know Him. Is that making sense? Because if you knew God, you would give Him praise. When I used to get up and lead service, it was not based on how I felt, because most of the time when I did it, a lot of times when I did it, I didn't feel like leading the people. Because if you ever stood before people, I mean, I'm talking about literally thousands of people, and all of them staring at you crazy. And this is during times of praise and worship. And it used to discourage me, because I'd be up there trying to get them involved in the service, and they looking at me crazy. Does that make any sense? And so sometimes when I get up to lead service, I didn't feel like doing it. But because I didn't like, but it wasn't because I don't like leading people, because I do. But many times the saints, they look at you silly, and that can be draining to you. That can have a bearing on how you, or help you, it dictates on how you worship God. But I get up here anyway, and I do what I'm called to do, because make is not based on how I feel. To make is not based on how I feel, but it's all about our relationship with our God and our will. Now, I'm going to try to shout somebody in a minute right here. When I think of the glory and the goodness of God, my mind connects with my heart, and I will out of praise. That's how I used to make it through. Watch this. Because I didn't feel like it sometimes, getting up there trying to coach some people to make it through, to praise God, that whatever they're facing in their lives, they bring it to the church and it hinders their praise, and it's up to the man of God or the worship leader to try to praise them up. And sometimes I didn't do it, and sometimes when it was, I didn't feel like doing it, and sometimes it was so draining on me, and what I would have to do was think about the goodness of God. Then when I thought about the goodness of God, my mind connected with my heart, and I willed out of praise.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Is that somebody resolved today that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're challenged with, that you are going to bless the Lord at all times? His praise will continually be in your mouth. Are there any will praises in the house tonight? That's what I want to know. That you are will out of praise, that when things get rough, you think about the goodness of God. When things get tough, you think about how God blessed you in the past. When things get hard, you think about how God brought you through that storm, and you begin to praise God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This is an inclusive call, not exclusive. It says all ye lands. This is for the Baptists and the Methodists. It's for the U.S. and China. It's for blacks and whites. It's for the rich and the poor, the educated and the uneducated. It's for males, females. It's for adults and children. It's for the old and the young. I wish I had a witness there somewhere. It's for all of us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. My time is up for the night, but I want somebody to know that I'm just trying to encourage you to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless his name, because when you think about all that you've been through and you think about where you're at now, you even could not have gotten that this far in life if it had not been for God. Somebody need to give him praise tonight. Somebody needs to really bless his name, because he is an awesome God. And how many of y'all know that God is worthy to be praised? Well, I hope you was inspired by this teaching on tonight. May God bless you. May God go with you. May God be with you. In Jesus' name, until next week, hold on and give God praise. Amen.
Some days it seems like it'd be easier to just let go.
I know you're praying for a change, to see a sunny day. Nothing good has come your way for so long. You need someone to understand, this place your heart is in. You just want to dream again and believe.
Yeah.
To live for. You have so much to live for.
Remember what you prayed for.
Remember what you prayed for.
Yes.
Hold on.
Don't give up.
Please.